Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You know what time it is. It's my favorite time of the week.
Yeah.
And that is when we shout out our patrons, because boy, oh boy, do I love them a lot. And I think you guys agree that they fucking rule.
I super agree. They rule. They fucking rule. Our patrons rule, and I love to shout them out.
I love to shout them out. Mm-mm. They're so special to us. They live in our hearts and our minds. And I can't wait to...
Rent-free.
They all live rent-free in our minds.
No, actually, they pay some money.
And I can't wait to get to say their names out loud. And first up, we have our champions for actors' rights. There's only one this week. She is our number one champion, Linnea Nilsson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linnea. You're going to have to do some heavy lifting. Solo champion.
Solo champion. I'm so sorry if it's Linnea. I hope we're saying these right. I hope we say everyone's names correctly.
Yeah, sometimes it's, you know, we just have to go with our guts. If we said your name wrong ever and you're mad about it, just write us a little email and we'll shout you out again.
Mm-hmm. We'll shout you out again. As we said, we love to do it. We love to say your names out loud. And we'd love to say it again correctly if we've said it wrong. So
yes.
Please give us the opportunity to say your name again.
I would love that.
If that's mm-hmm. what you want, we would love that. Mm-hmm. What else we love is to shout out this next group of people. What else we love? Is that what I said? Anyway, this group of people.
Words is hard today. It's just too hard.
It really is. But you know what's not hard is loving these vessel heads. And I do. I Amen. Love them as much as they love vessels, which I hope is a lot. And they are Caroline Stewart, Jackie Elder, Bill Hader Ginsburg.
Woo-hoo!
Certainly a birth name. 100%. Rick Combs, Alexis Bletcher, and Trice Sanders, who used to be a champion for actors' rights and is now getting on board with the vessel heads. You love to see it.
Welcome aboard,
welcome
Trice.
Aboard.
Welcome aboard.
And all the rest of the vessel heads.
You welcome aboard.
Oh, and our next group of patrons that we just got to thank so hard. I'm going to thank them really hard.
Thank you guys so ready? Hard.
They are Keaton Smith, Crystal, John Walsh, and Allison S., and they have joined Tony fucking Collette's inner circle.
Woo! And you may notice, listeners, none of those people are our parents. So it's open to all.
Mm-hmm.
It's open to all. Yeah. It's a great opportunity for everybody.
It's really such a good opportunity to get in on the ground floor.
Low rent in our minds.
And so if you want to live low rent in our minds, anywhere from $2 to $10 a month, you're going to head on over to patreon.com/TSDW podcast and sign up to be a patron, and we'll shout you out on a future episode. And who fucking wouldn't want that?
I can't so imagine cool. not wanting it.
It's really special.
We love you guys. Enjoy the episode.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I am also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love scary movies, and I love telling Henley and Emily about them and freaking them out.
There we go.
She loves it.
She loves to freak out her friends. What's up with us, everyone? How are you, my friends?
I don't have much, but I just want to do a quick announcement that Robert Pattinson has tested negative for COVID.
Oh my god.
He has been cleared They have resumed filming on the Batman, and I'm just breathing a big sigh of relief.
Wow, I'm so glad I didn't know until just now, and I got to experience that.
Yeah.
This is the way I would want to find out, so thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, wow. I was pretty thrilled to hear it. And so that's, yeah, just the highlight of my day, and I thought I'd share it with you guys. Lift everybody's spirits.
Huge, yeah, that's great.
Thank you. I feel so much better now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have kind of an interesting thing. So there is an article that came out this week in The New Yorker that's about my hometown. And it's written by a girl who I grew up with, but I never really knew her. She was a few years older than me. Her name's Casey Kep. And she's a woman, not a girl. Anywho, so it's about this, ongoing controversy in my town that has been really kind of fascinating to watch unravel, which is the fact that there's a Confederate statue, outside of the courthouse, and it is, it basically, the town has been protesting it and wanting it to come down. And with everything going on this summer and the George Floyd protest, it finally felt like it was actually going to come down. It felt like they were finally going to do something about it.
Right.
But the town council just voted to keep it up.
Of course they did.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Guys, government is bad.
Government is bad, and it was so shocking that they voted to keep it up. I was honestly totally floored that still they are insisting that it remain. And to part of this whole story is that I'm from the Eastern Shore of Maryland and grew up in the same town where Frederick Douglass was a slave.
Yeah.
And it took until like 2011 for them to put a statue of Frederick Douglass in front of the courthouse. And that now sits next to the Confederate statue.
Jesus. And,
but when they put up the statue of Frederick Douglass, they made a law that no statue could be taller than the Confederate statue. So it's this like small version of Frederick Douglass next to the Confederate statue. Guys,
oh, that's worse than like not doing it at all. It's like, here's your little, we did a little statue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. And so, first of all, it's insane that it took them that long to even put the statue up.
Right.
And then second of all, it's crazy that they refused to take this Confederate statue down. And anyway, there's a kind of a really good article about the history of racism on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and specifically around this debate that's going on. And I was excited to see it in a national magazine. I was excited to see it in The New Yorker.
Yeah. Good. I mean, that's fucked up. That boils my blood.
Okay. That's all. That's all I have to say about that.
Dang. No, that's fascinating. I want to read that article, and that's really infuriating that they didn't.
It's a really, yeah, as a white person who has been completely fucking oblivious to a lot of things that have been right in front of her, it's just another example of like, oh, the town I'm from is so extremely racist.
Yeah.
And still is. It still is.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They literally had an opportunity to do this, like a very small thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, taking down a statue is a pretty small thing to do. That's really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad.
It's incredibly disappointing.
Emily, what's going on with you?
I mean, not much, honestly. So, sorry.
I think I know something.
Well, I talked about it last week, and you know, and well, so I finished my bathroom. Huge news. Finished my bathroom renovation. I do feel very insane because that room is not well ventilated and I've been in it for several days painting everything, like the ceiling, everything, and I feel very bad. So physically I don't feel great, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy with my bathroom. It's my favorite room I've ever been in.
It looks amazing.
It's not, but I really love it. It's my favorite room in my apartment, and I'm really thrilled. I'm just really thrilled. It might be the best thing I've ever done. So I finished my bathroom.
Yeah, but we'll have to post a picture. We'll post a picture of
I'll post pictures. And a listener sent me a video of she has a bathroom that she painted absurdly pink. And that was so cool to see.
You two are going to start a trend.
We're going to start a trend. Pink bathrooms. I really hated it yesterday before it was finished. And I was like, oh, no, I've made a huge mistake. And then I finished it. And now I love it. So.
Hell yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
I love it. I can't wait to be able to go in there and have my destination wedding there.
Yeah, you can get married in my bathroom. Henley, turns out we're not pushing your wedding. It's happening on Saturday in my bathroom. Get back to LA. It's happening.
All right, let's get into this week's movie, which is Tenebrae. It came out in 1982, written and directed by Dario Argento, starring Anthony Franciosa, John Saxon, Daria Nicolodi, Giuliano Gemma, and Cristia Boremio.
Good job, Sammy.
Thank you. I tried. I don't have a great Italian accent.
I don't know whether this is really embarrassing, but I had never heard of this film before doing it this week on this podcast.
Neither had I. But Emily, why don't you tell us who had heard of it?
I'll tell you who had heard of it because we have a guest this week and we're so thrilled. He is an actor and a comedian and just one of my dearest friends, Peter Banifaz.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, Peter.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. First of all, shout out to Robert Pattinson. Indeed was fantastic news. Batman is back.
Yes.
Batman is back.
Batman is back.
We're all breathing a big sigh of relief.
Can't stop the Batman, you know?
A big
fuse.
Huge fuse.
And also congratulations on the bathroom, boo. Like I could see you. It's like when you create something that you live in and it's by your own hand and like craft and skill, that's a big deal, which is really cool. So I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I'd love to do something like that. I have yet to, but
yeah.
Have you been doing any DIY projects during quarantine?
I haven't. No, I haven't. But I wanted, there is a DIY project I'd like to do, which is I'd like to get a new washer and then install it myself.
Ooh, sounds tough, but rewarding.
And that's probably why I haven't done it yet. It sounds really tough. It's not that tough, apparently. It's just going to be difficult picking it up and attaching it to the place where like the hose goes or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. Yeah. There's a reason, I guess, why I haven't done it yet, because I was planning to do it like literally since April.
That happens.
Well, one thing you have been doing in quarantine is, I'm going to give a little plug, producing some of the very best Instagram content there is.
Oh my God.
So friends, you've got to make sure, we'll post some stuff. You got to make sure to follow Peter because he's really bringing a lot of joy.
Thank you so much.
In this time.
I'm just really bored too. So like,
yeah,
a lot of times I'm just bored and then I'll just make a video. Cause I really don't have anything better to do a lot of times. Like if I have some work, take care of that. Or if I have exercise, like if I have exercise, I mean, I get a chance to work out and blah, blah, blah. But other than that, it's kind of just like just sitting in my house and
yeah, it's a weird time.
Yeah. Do you like watching horror movies? Do you like watching scary movies?
I do. I love horror movies. Like Halloween is literally my favorite time of the year. Like I love the whole horror genre ever since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. So
I'm so sad Halloween this year is basically canceled-ish. It's going to be
pretty much.
Bummer.
It is going to be a bummer. One thing I love doing Halloween, like that whole month is just watching as many scary movies as I can. So it's I can still do that kind of shit.
Do you do the like 31 days of Halloween challenge where you tried to watch one every day?
Kind of. Not like official. I guess I didn't officially do it like that where it's like one a day, but I try to watch as many as I can during that time. It just feels like more fun. It just feels more festive when it's like Halloween and you're constantly watching scary shit. Mm-hmm. You feel like a kid almost. Yeah.
Wait, so have you never been, have you, you've liked horror movies ever since you were a little kid. Like really scared of them? Did you
Oh, definitely. When I was a little kid.
You just like being scared. You like the feeling of it.
I do like being scared. I think I saw my first like horror little like snippet thing when I was probably like 7 or 8 or maybe like 7. Yeah, something like that. And like, I remember it scared me, but also intrigued me. And it just sort of like, when I used to go to the video stores, like when we used to rent videos back in the days, I go to Blockbuster and I go to like the horror section and then look at the back of all the films and like, but then I'd also get nightmares and then like try to like sleep with my mom and shit like that. So
when I was a kid, I would like, if I was in a video store and I accidentally saw like a horror movie cover, I'd be like, oh no, no, no. Like I would like freak. I would like avoid those aisles. And if I somehow accidentally ended up in one, it was like a whole thing. And I like had to get out.
That's a
very different experience.
What was the first like horror movie you saw that you remember?
Man, so here's a weird thing. The first horror movie thing I remember is that it was like a compilation tape that somebody had taped a bunch of different scenes from different horror movies. And for some reason, we had this tape.
Was it just like a spoiler reel?
Yeah, it was only the ending, most important parts of every film.
Really?
No, it was like, no. No, it was just like, it was okay. There was a scene from Ghostbusters 1 in there. And then there was a scene from like, Nosferatu in there, and then there was a scene from something black and white. I remember I mean, this was literally when I was, I think, yeah, like 6 or 7, so it's like I just remember sort of images, but it was just and none of them were scary. It wasn't like a like Evil Dead wasn't on there. Like some of like the famous like scary movies of back in the day weren't there. It was very tame stuff, but I remember it scared the shit. Oh, Clash of the Titans. There was a scene from Clash of the Titans, which is not even a horror film, but like,
right,
it was kind of like a scary thing, I guess. But yeah, that was the first thing I've seen. So it's like the first horror or monster, whatever thing I remember from movie was from Clash of Titans. I specifically remember the Medusa character.
Ooh, Medusa's scary.
Yeah, it was scary. Medusa even though scary. That film's like an adventure film, but that shit was scary. Yeah.
But you liked it and you were like, I gotta find more compilation clips like this one.
Yeah, I was like, Petey Boy likes. I like this. Yeah. But I would get scared. So my mom wouldn't want me to watch it because she'd be like, then you're gonna not be able to sleep.
Sure.
Like
sure.
That,
so.
Now you're a grown up and you can watch it if you want.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell my mom every day. Every time we speak, I tell her that.
I have an out of left field question for you, and it's that if I'm not mistaken, I feel like you have been in the vicinity of Matthew Rhys. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, we love Matthew Rhys.
We're all pretty obsessed with Matthew Rhys.
Nice.
Well, so I guess the question is, what does he smell like? Yeah.
Just sort of give us everything you've got.
Well, let me see. What does he smell like? That's the only thing. That's really the only
that's
thing you guys
all
have
I
want to
know.
I didn't smell him, but you know what? He didn't smell bad. So, like, I feel like
that checks out.
He shows the pro. But honestly, he is such a nice, just such a gentleman, and just friendly to everybody. Friendly to everybody. Just an absolute pro. Yeah. It was a real pleasure working with him. I only worked with him for like 2 days, but he's just such a nice guy.
I love to hear that. I'm very happy. So it was on Perry Mason, right? Listeners, check out Perry Mason.
Yes, check out Perry Mason. I was in episode 7. Yeah. But it was a great time. The whole cast, the producers, director, everybody was great. But Matthew Rhys is like, I feel like on a set like that, or on any set, the star kind of sets the tone for how other people act and behave and the vibe. And like, his vibe is so good that everybody's vibe sort of just ended up being great.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is so great. You know, actually today my mom turned to me and said, did you know that the couple from The Americans is a couple in real life?
It's basically the only thing that we know. It's the only thing.
We talk about it all the time.
Real estate in my brain. It's like a huge chunk of my brain is just Matthew Russell or Matthew Rhys and Kerry Russell. I've just combined them.
Matthew Russell. Like, I've watched a lot of YouTube compilations of them.
Yes.
So
yes.
Proud of it.
And it's kind of cool and progressive. He took her he took her last name.
He took her name, which is what I decided in my brain is that he did that.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour. This week's cocktail is a Negroni. It's a classic cocktail. We're doing a classic film set in Italy. Negronis are red. Negronis are delicious. Hey, sometimes you just gotta make it something straightforward. So, for a Negroni, pretty simple. It is equal parts gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. You usually do 1, 1, and 1. You're going to stir all ingredients with ice and strain into a chilled rocks glass over ice and garnish with an orange twist. Hopefully you have had this drink before. If not, oh my God, go make it. It's really just a lovely, lovely cocktail. Perfect for sipping, picturing yourself in Italy, hopefully not being murdered. Cheers.
Peter, why this movie in particular? What is this a movie you've loved for a long time?
Yeah, this is a film I liked for a long time. A friend of mine who's like a big time film buff introduced me to this film. I had never even heard of Dario Argento. This is like 10 years ago. I mean, just sort of like, it's a very stylized piece. It's very sort of like fun and in your face. The music is really interesting.
The music is so good.
Yeah. It's so like Goblins, which I'm sure some of you listeners know about the Goblins, which is like, they're this Italian disco group that made a lot of different beats for these type of films. Mm-hmm. And I think these type of films are called giallo or giallo.
Yes. Giallo. I don't know how to say it either, but it means yellow in Italian.
Oh, okay. And I guess like this subgenre of horror is like basically, it's like Italian slasher films.
Yeah.
They're ultra violent. But they have a certain vibe to them. They have sort of like a hip vibe to them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys already done a lot of the classics, and this feels like it's a lesser known classic, but definitely a classic.
Yeah, I had never heard of it. Dario Argento, his most famous film, I'd say, is Suspiria, which we haven't done yet.
Yeah. Which is a movie I've heard of, but I also know nothing about it.
Right.
But I don't think I would have guessed that it's like an 80s Italian horror.
Well, they remade it recently, right?
Maybe that's why they did remake it recently.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Probably why I've heard of it more so than the original.
Right.
Suspiria was apparently Dario Argento's first like successful film when it first came out back in the days. And I think this one, some people arguably feel that this was his best film, like his best crafted film, most well-crafted film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen it. And I had also never heard of it. And I am really happy that you picked it because I loved it and it was so good. Great. And it's kind of like a film school-y film. Like I went to film school, so I felt like I was back in film school. It's got some like Hitchcock vibes and like the colors are so beautiful and the cinematography is really cool for this time. There's like one like tracking shot that's, I mean, I think they literally teach it in film school. So yeah, it was really cool. I'm glad that you picked it. The fun one.
Awesome.
People who are unfamiliar with this podcast and don't necessarily like scary movies ask me all the time. They're like, aren't you worried you're going to run out of movies to do? And it's just not ever going to happen.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah,
I
have the opposite thing. I have the opposite anxiety where I'm like, how are we going to have time to do all of these movies? This podcast is going to have to go on for our whole lives to talk
our
about
whole our whole lives.
Our whole lives.
There's a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Are we going to watch the trailer now? Oh, no, we do trivia.
I don't really have any trivia.
I do have one trivia about this.
Oh, yeah.
I just learned this. That a lot of people feel so he was criticized heavily. He was like, your films, basically you're constantly just killing really attractive women and it's sort of like tasteless. And I think he took that to heart and he felt disrespected and he felt like judged and like not understood or whatever. And so some people feel this film was extra violent as a F you to the critics and stuff like that. And so, because what's interesting is like, definitely there are elements of his film where you're like, huh, yeah. Like I could see sort of like classic, like slasher, sort of like
scantily yeah, clad women, boobs.
Right. But then boobs. a lot of times the heroine is are women in his films. So it's like there's this weird progressive slash sexist duality to his stuff, which I can totally understand the criticism. And then I can understand, most of it is pretty sexist stuff, I guess. But
there's one part that made me mad. And we'll talk about it when we get there.
But. Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Should we watch this trailer?
Yes, let's watch the trailer.
Filthy, slimy pervert.
I've read all your books, Mr. Neal. The book deals with a murder committed with an old-fashioned open razor, right? This girl, too, was killed with a razor, and your book's pages stuffed into her mouth.
I wish I'd never written that book.
You don't mean that.
I've made charts. I've tried building a plot the same way you have. Tried to figure it out, but I just have this hunch that something is missing. Tiny piece of a jigsaw. Somebody who should be dead is alive, or somebody who should be alive is already dead.
Explain that.
You know, there's a sentence in a Conan Doyle book. When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
All right.
Wow.
Oh my God. There's a lot of knives in this. And Emily, you are not going to be okay.
Especially, I do not like the look of that straight razor.
That was a wild trailer. That was a long trailer.
It's a long trailer.
Very long.
Yeah. Trailers are different in now. In the
80s. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely looked beautiful. I have a feeling just from that trailer, I was like, ooh, I'm getting a lot of some style inspiration from these Italian women who all look way cool.
Yep.
We saw some boobs in the trailer.
Yeah, not often that right you see boobs in the trailer.
Not often you get that in the trailer.
No, that's that shocked me.
And a lot of just straight up, there was definitely a lot of violence in the trailer in a way that it was like,
It freeze frames on a woman with her throat slit.
Yeah.
And was that's the music from the movie that was in the trailer?
Yeah,
that was fun.
That song rules.
Yeah, that song starts from the opening credit sequence and then kind of comes and goes again throughout it. And then the song that it ends on is also in it. It's just that the music really adds to this film. So like just in general, Dario Argento films, they kind of have that. It's like you feel like the music almost doesn't fit the film or the scene. But when you actually watch it, it does in its own crazy way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music was a real highlight.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. So should we get into it?
Should we dive right in?
I think we should do it.
The weather is getting warmer. It's happening. Summer is upon us. I cannot wait. I am so ready. I already have some summer trips lined up. It is time to have a wardrobe refresh. It is time to out with the old, in with the new. Get yourself ready for all that you have coming up for the warmer, wonderful months ahead. But of course, you want to do that without spending a fortune. And that is why I am so excited to have found Quince. Quince has perfect summer staple pieces that you are going to need for all your summer travel, all your lounging around, backyard barbecues, picnics, you name it, they've got it. Like super comfortable, breezy linen dresses, blouses, shorts, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. And here's the absolute best part. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. That is huge. That is so important. I love to see it. I only ever want to support brands that are doing that. And it's not just clothes. Quince has, like I said, jewelry. They have shoes. They have accessories. But what I really, really love is they have travel accessories. My favorite thing is their leather travel jewelry case. Oh my gosh, it has all little compartments and little like hooks and loops for you to put in your earrings, places to put your necklaces. I am always just shoving my jewelry into like a Ziploc when I travel. It all gets tangled. It's a mess. This travel case is just absolutely perfect. And if you have summer travel coming up, just go ahead and make your life easier and get yourself one of these. Or they have packing cubes, suitcases. I mean, truly, you name it, they've got it. You have got to give it a try. Give it a look. I bet you're going to find something you love. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/too scary for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/too scary to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/too scary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, so some of the basics of this film is, so this guy, Peter Neal, he's an American author, and he writes like, just like very intense horror books, like violent horror books, but he's like famous all around the world, and he comes to Italy to promote his latest work, and he comes with his assistant and his literary agent. His assistant, I have it here. His assistant was, what was it? Amy? Oh, yeah. His
aunt. And Bulmer is his agent.
And Bulmer, yeah. And so, also, he doesn't know this, but his ex-wife, or I never understood if it was his ex-wife or it was his wife that he doesn't talk to anymore. Or
right. A slighted...
Some sort of estrangement.
An ex of some sort.
Certainly an ex, an estrangement. And then she basically kind of follows him there. But like, we don't realize in the beginning, like, what's going on. We just kind of in the airport, we see her. And then he comes there to promote the book. And unrelated to him coming, I mean, unrelated to his particular story at the moment, somewhere else, across town, this like young woman goes in to a store and shoplifts, and then they catch her, and there's just this weird exchange with the police officer where she's like, basically, if you let me go, I'll have like sex with you.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to, and the officer's like this, and it cuts to then her walking out of the office, and then basically cops like, okay, we'll see you later, like, but like basically I guess he agreed.
He's like, deal.
Yeah, it just feels very
sleazy. I love my job.
And the dude's like easily 20 something years, 30 years older than her. And then so what happens is then we kind of follow her to her house, and turns out someone's watching her outside the house, and then the person breaks in and slashes her throat. And the song that is during the scene is very dope. It's like,
wow, that is a bad last day of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, that sucks.
I remember when I first saw this scene, like, I was like, oh wow. And then when the music kicks in when she gets her like throat slit, and it's such a weird, it makes you just go, huh? Like, does this music belong in this? I don't know. It's really, really interesting. So that happens, and then police are all over it.
One thing that happens is they put, we see that the killer is like shoving pages of the book. The title of the book that Peter has written is Tenebrae, which means darkness in Latin. And we see that the killer is ripping out pages of Tenebrae and shoving them in the girl's mouth as he's slitting her throat.
Gross.
Right. Also, during this time, another thing that starts happening is like, as the audience, we keep seeing like these sort of this flashback to this like particular situation, like years and years ago. It's like it's this young, attractive woman with these like young, attractive men all laughing together. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of cuts to like one of the men slapping the woman, for whatever God knows why. And then the other dudes get mad and they chase him down and they like, you know, they kind of beat him up and they throw him on the ground. And then it cuts to her putting the heel of her red shoe, like in his mouth, like, and then basically humiliating him, and everyone's laughing and stuff like that. And so this flashback keeps coming, and in the beginning to the middle, we really don't understand what it is and why. And then we'll find out.
And this actress, this actress that plays this woman is trans, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Also for 82. I mean, even for now, but.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy that even for now, it's still progressive. That's how that we still have so much yet to go.
40 years. Yep. Yeah. Yep. 40 years later, not much progress.
Yep. We got a ways to go.
And crazy, because on Wikipedia in this film, it describes the that she orally rapes him with her high-heeled shoe, and that definitely makes it sound it's like, oof. Yeah, she forces her shoe in the mouth, so that's a like really big deal,
right?
And then so meanwhile our hero is there, and he's kind of doing his thing, and then like he gets a wind of the what's happened. And the fact that the pages of his book were in the victim's mouth. So then now he's kind of automatically involved, and he's trying to figure out, okay, what's going on. And there's an Italian detective who also is on the case. He connects with Peter, and basically together they sort of set out to sort of solve this crime.
Right.
I mean, the Italian, the detective, his main objective is to solve a crime. It feels like the author's main objective is to sort of like promote the book, but at the same time figure out exactly what is going, what's happening, and then somehow prove that it's has nothing to do with his book. And it's because there's a part where he gets criticism from somebody, from like a reporter, that hey, your books are too violent, or violent against women. Is that, do they specifically say violent against women?
Yes, there's a female reporter that says why is there, they're sexist. I think she calls the book sexist, and he gets defensive. At the beginning when he meets the detective's name is Germani, Detective Germani, and it's kind of at first kind of seeming like maybe he's a suspect, but then he's like, well, I was on a plane from New York to Rome when this happened. Mm-hmm. So quickly the detective's like,
pretty good alibi.
The detective's like, okay.
That's interesting that's what the author, the character, is being accused of in the movie, when with the trivia that Dario Argento made this movie perhaps as a response to similar criticism.
Right.
I thought that was interesting too.
A little meta.
Yeah.
A little meta, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he finds out that his belongings have been vandalized.
Right. And he finds out that the belongings have been vandalized. Little did he know that the person who vandalized them was his estranged wife.
Oh.
Okay.
That she came to sort of Italy to like to do that to him. He doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
He gets like an anonymous letter slipped under his hotel room door and a phone call from this seeming murderer while the detectives are still in the room. And this scene is in the trailer where he's like on the phone and the killer's voice is like, "You slimy little."
Maybe one of the creepiest
It sounded like
voices.
A woman.
It's creepy.
It's very whispery, and yeah, he says
like ASMR.
Yeah.
Like a horrible form of ASMR. Like, like it's just yeah, it sounds horrible.
Yeah. So they know that the killer knows that Peter is here, and I think the detective says something like, "Okay, this means he's probably going to strike again. He's motivated by your book." And I think we might have like a potential serial killer vibe on our hands. Right. It seems like someone who's like into doing these murders after your book.
And then Peter's pretty much like, oh, that sucks. But well, got to promote my book. But then more shit happens. There is this like famous a journalist and the film really makes it a point to let the audience know that she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm.
I think she's the one who interviews him, right? And calls him sexist.
Yes. And interesting enough, she ends up, it's almost like, and oh yeah, of course she's a lesbian because she hates men and she's like a lesbian because it just felt like a
way. I think he's sexist.
Right. It's like, what does she know? She doesn't even love men. Like, she could never, I don't know, like, it felt very on the nose. Very on the nose sexist. But so that happens. And I believe this was the scene. This is like a very famous scene in the film where it basically there's this tracking shot that follows this the woman from her window to like different parts of like the building. It's hard to describe. It's
like her and her girlfriend in the house. I think they're like lovers, right? Because they're like getting mad at each other. There's something happening between them. And yeah, it's like a crane shot that goes up from the reporter's window to the girlfriend's window in the second store and then moves back down and then kind of does like a full rotation in a way that you kind of don't know where you are for a second and you come back up kind of disoriented. And we see hands with clippers cutting open the window.
Uh-oh.
Ew.
And
I'm guessing these are dangerous looking clippers.
Yes. And
they're not like your average normal safe clippers.
No, like some garden shear looking clippers. And fun fact, all of the hands in this are Dario Argento's hands. So all these POV shots are the director's hands, which is kind of cool. Fun.
Interesting. Another fun fact. Oh, I believe that the actress who plays the assistant is Dario Argento's wife.
Oh,
in real life.
Anne, the one that plays Anne?
I believe so, yeah.
So Anne, I just wanted to say Anne and Peter have kind of a Frasier and Roz vibe, and I really liked
Anne. That's great.
I liked Anne. She's great.
She's great. Another thing that's also weird about this film is it feels like the entire thing was in Italian and then everybody redubbed and even the English was redubbed. So it's
out of sync pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. There were moments in the trailer. I was like, wait, their lips are saying those words, but it still isn't right.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's funny, but I actually got used to it kind of quick. Usually, I mean, I don't like dubbing. I don't prefer it, but I got used to it and it was fine.
Right. In this killing of the journalist, this is another very famous scene in the movie that's actually in the trailer too. The song is also really cool. It's by Goblins and I believe the song is called Flashing. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And then basically, again, what was it? Is this scene? Did he stuff anything in her mouth in this scene?
Well, she gets in her room and you hear, she hears the whisper, filthy slut.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And kind of like hears it.
I hate that.
She pauses for a second because she hears it and looks a little creeped out. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't know what that is. And takes her shirt off and is like pulling her shirt over her head. And then we see his hand come in behind, grab her from behind and slash her shirt. And so there's this kind of famous shot of the slit t-shirt and her scared face through the t-shirt. And then there's a blood splatter and she did.
It feels like one thing is you'll see is like, it feels like all these murders, like it's, they're really shaming. Like they're sort of like, how do you say, like promiscuous shaming and sort of like somebody, this killer clearly has something with women and sexuality.
This would have been a time where with like more homophobia too. Like I'm sure there's some of that as well.
Definitely.
So we're sort of seeing like the first woman get killed because she had sex with the cop potentially,
right.
And this one's a lesbian, so it's like there's some type of weird conservative shit going on.
Yeah,
there's a one right way and amount to love men and sex, and neither of these women are doing it right.
That's correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why this murderer is going around killing all of them. let me see. I lost my train of thought here.
Well, then the killer like goes upstairs and kills that girlfriend who is naked, and it's kind of like her in her towel screaming, running.
Right.
And he slices her back and she falls.
Oh, gross.
She falls through a window and he slices her neck as she falls, and she falls backwards with her head like hanging off the window and her throat slit. That is the freeze frame from the trailer. And I think it's the inspiration for the cover of the film.
Right. Okay. Right. Absolutely.
Are there pages of the book involved?
I don't think murders? So. I don't think
in this scene. No, I don't think in particular this one.
But he's using a straight razor, which the character in the book does as well.
And then there was another murder after this, right? It was Peter's landlord.
It's like the hotel owner's daughter, I think.
Right.
She like helps him. She's super cute. This is probably where you were feeling your style inspiration from, Emily, in the trailer. She's in the trailer. She's got like a cute little mini skirt and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
She's super cute. She helps him like fix his hot water heater. And Anne comes in and kind of gives Peter a look afterwards, like, oh, you don't waste any time, like already hooking up with the locals. And he's like, oh, Anne, she was fixing my water heater. Like, the Fraser Ross dynamic, I just like it. And in this scene, or while they're still in the hotel, they see his ex through the hotel window, and they're kind of not sure if it was her, but they see her. They're like, what the fuck? Like, was that your ex-wife driving by? And like,
so at this point, they don't know that she's there.
Yeah, they don't know. Right. And so Peter calls her to be like, no, that wouldn't have been her. Let me call her. And her voicemail, it goes to voicemail, and he's like, what the fuck? I think it was her. And she like speeds off, and they're just like, why the hell is my ex-wife here in Rome? That's weird.
Which is weird. It's true. I'd be like, what the hell?
I think I'd be pretty freaked out.
I would find it weird. Personally,
yeah. I would find it weird too.
So then it comes a book reviewer. Book reviewer's name was
Cristiano.
Cristiano Bird. So this guy is a book reviewer, and he's also like he's another guy that's kind of on Peter's ass, and like is very sort of just like very judgmental, and is like harshly criticizes the book. Seems that he's kind of like a weird ultra conservative, like Puritan type guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, we're like, huh, that's weird. Cause like,
he's got weird vibes.
Yeah. He's got really weird vibes.
I think he says something like, your book is about like killing like the scum of the earth or something like that. And he's like, that's not what it's about. Like, what are you talking about? They like just have like a weird interaction where he's like, this guy's fucking weird.
Wait, does he just confront him? Do they have like a meeting together?
No, it was like a scheduled like meeting, like interview type thing. Okay. Where he's like, I'm writing an article on your book or something. And it just goes kind of weird. And then we get the landlord daughter scene.
Right. And then that's the scene where she gets killed too.
It's so prolonged though. This is the scene that I was mad about. So, okay. First, she's like walking home after work. And
this is the girl in the cute skirt.
She like hops on the back of someone's little motorcycle and gets dropped off near her house. He like makes a pass at her and she's like, let me off here. I'll walk the rest of the way. Walks. And then there's like a Rottweiler through a fence that's barking at her. And this dog acting.
Ooh, a dog actor.
Gives the dogs from The Thing a run for their money, if I recall my dog Ooh. Acting. So it's barking at her and it's jumping and it's like the fence is high, probably 8 feet high. And this dog almost gets over it. And it shows the shot. Like, this isn't a special effect. This is just a very talented dog. And determined to get this girl. So anyways, gets into this long dog chase. She has to hop a fence. It attacks her. Is on top of her.
Oh my God.
She's like blocking with her hands. It shows it like biting her arms and like biting her legs. She's bleeding, like dripping blood on herself. She kicks it and like gets away from it and gets into someone's backyard, which we have already seen, I think, a scene that this is the killer's place. I think we've seen the scene of him like developing photos because he takes photos of each of his victims.
So is this just a coincidence that she got chased into the yard of the killer, or was this a masterminded plot by the killer?
This is just an unfortunate coincidence, I believe.
He wasn't working with a genius dog. Is this movie secretly about a really smart dog?
I mean, maybe the dog's the killer. We don't know yet.
And the dog's name ends up being Tenebre. Here, Tenebre.
And the dog is also terribly dubbed, I'm assuming.
Yeah, all the barks are out of sync.
Hands in gloves with the straight razor.
What if
it was the dog?
Why are there no dog murderer movies? I guess there's Cujo, but I want like a murderer, like a human murderer, but it's a dog. Anyway,
write it.
A human murderer, but it's a dog.
Exactly.
Oh, it kills
no further
humans,
explanation necessary. And yes, that is my complete pitch. I have nothing else to say.
That's what it says on all the posters.
That's a tagline.
Human murder.
Just get it done, Hollywood. Get it done. Okay, so this young so this woman basically who runs through this home. Well, guess what happens to her? Unfortunately, she ends up dead. You guessed it. She ends up dead.
But it's so prolonged and she goes through so much. So it's like first she fights off this fucking dog for like 5 minutes. Then she's inside. She sees all the developed photos of the other dead women. And she's like, oh, fuck. Now I'm in a killer's house because she knows about this. This is in the news. She like very cleverly folds up all the photos, starts putting them in her pocket. She's like gathering evidence. She's like, oh, I got to catch this guy, and like almost makes it out. And then in the living room, we hear spy, filthy spy.
Ew.
Oh, this guy is that weird.
That voice is so creepy.
I don't
like that voice.
Creepy. It's really creepy.
Sounds wait like hear, Voldemort. Yeah.
And another long chase. And it's like this one goes on for a while too. So it just was like, it's you're with her for long enough to like be invested in her survival. So I was pretty pissed when she died. Because, I mean, and that's why they did it, I suppose, but
because it sounds like all the other ones have just been pretty quick. You don't really care about them so much.
However, one thing her murder does do, it sort of brings to light some of the same specifics as what happened with the other murders, and basically on a hunch, the Italian detectives. Do we say that it's two detectives?
We didn't, but I feel like the other one has like zero lines, but there are two.
Yeah.
It's a man and a woman. The man, I can't remember his name now.
Germani?
Yeah,
Gianni,
Germani.
Right? His name is Gianni.
Germani. There is also a Gianni, so we got to be careful.
Wait, yeah, there's a Germani and a Gianni?
Yeah, Germani is the detective. Gianni is his Peter's assist, like young assistant.
Oh, right.
We haven't Germani. Really seen that much yet.
No, we haven't really seen him yet. Spoiler alert, he dies later.
No!
So Gianni, the Italian detective,
yes.
The Italian on a hunch, they're like, bro, this guy, the same guy who's the book critic, he's like showing this weird ass obsession with Peter's books. And like, he's kind of like a bigot too. He's kind of like a, sort of that puritanical conservative sort of
not a jump that this man would maybe murder women.
Yeah, we're feeling suspicious of this guy now. Let's maybe check him out.
This guy, he certainly has some kind of hate and anger inside of him. Mm-hmm. Something's going on with him. So they check out. So they come and they spy on him.
And this is where we meet Gianni. So this is the young assistant.
Yeah. So the young assistant comes. It was the young assistant that spies, right?
And Peter, they go together, and they've kind of branched off from the detective, though. I feel like they're fancying themselves detectives. So they're like, we're gonna go solve. Well, more Peter. I feel like he's really leading the chase, and he's like, I'm a crime novelist, so I can probably solve crimes better than detectives. It's getting a little ego trippy, but he's like, Johnny, come help me. Let's go spy on this guy.
Right. And also, it just so happens that they found this woman's body in this guy's area, like close all of it has kind of come together. While they're spying on him, they see him. He's talking on the phone with someone, correct? And
I think he's just like, he's holding some papers. See his lips moving, but you don't hear what he says yet. He basically, Johnny is closer. Johnny's looking through the window and he's seeing this guy, and we just see an axe come into the guy's head.
Not an axe.
And it's bad. No. It's like, it looks really gruesome for an 80s movie. I thought this was the most realistic looking one.
The book critic gets murdered.
Yes. Who we suspected.
I like when they do that, when they're like, never mind.
Yeah. So that was our main suspect at this point. And Johnny sees him get killed and they go to make a run for it. He goes and he finds Peter who was like hiding in the bushes. And now Peter has a head wound. And he's like, ah, somebody hit me. Somebody came in and hit me. Picks Peter up, they get back in the car, they drive home.
And when you're watching this movie, you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Well, there's kind of like a dynamic between the detective and Peter where the detective kind of knows that he's holding out information on him, I think. And he's kind of like, if you suspect something, maybe this already happened because now this guy's dead, but they're kind of, one of the little cat and mouse things that they're saying to each other is, he says, I read your last book and I figured out who the killer was on page 30, which I thought was a fun line for a murder mystery movie. Cause then my little brain is turning and I'm like, who did we meet early on?
Ooh, that's fun.
That's a clever line. And then they quote some Arthur Conan Doyle and they start kind of working together. And Peter's like, you know, once you rule out the impossible, the only thing left is like the most likely solution. I don't know. We've all heard that line. We've seen Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, we've all heard it. So is the assumption then now that the killer knocked out Peter potentially and killed this other, like chose to not kill Peter?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Peter's getting like notes after each murder too, by the way. And that was one thing that I was like, he doesn't seem nervous enough that the killer just knows where he lives. Cause he's getting little notes under his door each time there's a dead person shows up.
Right. Little hints, little like taunting sort of like things.
He doesn't seem scared.
Because now they've had like a closer run in. So this night he says, Anne, will you spend the night tonight?
Okay, so he's getting a little scared.
So, yeah, and he's getting a little scared. There's some, in the trailer we saw, there's a line with his agent that's like, I want to get out of here. And he's like, no, like your book tour is not over. He's like, well, my life is in danger. Yeah, so Anne stays with him and they hook up.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
And so this is the first time that they've crossed sort of like the line of a platonic friendship into like, let's just say it, making sweet love.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say it.
And I think they even say, well, your wife was in the way for 6 years or something like that.
Whoa.
So they, I guess, have had some sexual tension. Not unlike Frasier and Ross.
Yeah, no, this is classic Frasier and Ross.
This is still in Rome. Classic Frasier and Ross right here. We've all seen it. We know what's up.
We see that the next morning, Johnny is not doing well after witnessing someone being axed in the head. There's like a part where they almost get in a car accident. because he's so stressed. He's just not doing well. Next morning, we see that Bulmer, the agent, is hooking up with Jane, the ex-wife. And so maybe this is why she is in Rome.
Yes, yes.
There we go. But honestly, that's like, that makes sense.
It's a more of a relief. Yeah, there's a reason, I guess. Yeah,
I'm glad she's not a stalker.
Yeah. So it can't be her, right? Because she's there for...
She's there to hook up with Bulmer.
They both also assume that... what's his name? Peter doesn't know anything about this.
Yeah, so Peter's planning on leaving Rome. And the detective is like, good idea. I think that's probably for the best. Like, it's clear that this... this guy was kind of obsessed with you, and yeah, like there's a serial killer basing things off your book, so probably a good idea.
Also, feels like already not great press for the book, so right? You know, might as well chalk it up.
Or the best press.
Is it the best ever press?
Yeah, could be.
Getting it all over the news.
And we get another flashback to the woman in the red shoes. And she is just walking, and we see her kind of recognize someone, and we see point of view, POV, like a hand stabbing her in the stomach.
Oh, God.
And it was a flashback. It's the same night.
Maybe like a different day. I mean, she's still wearing the red shoes, I think. But I think it is a different day, or maybe the same day. I don't know. But we don't know who it is. It's not current.
Right. It's sort of that revolving flashback where every time we see a little bit more and more of
cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jane gets a delivery. Jane is the ex-wife who gets a delivery of red shoes. The very same red shoes that this woman in the flashbacks was wearing. Who sent these? She probably assumes Bulmer sent them. She puts them on. She's going to meet Bulmer. We see Bulmer waiting for her in kind of a town square type place.
Uh-oh.
And we see someone come up to him and stab him a bunch of
times. Oh, him!
Right. Someone stabs him. No. And we have no idea.
And yeah, I feel like he was my next in line suspect at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so Jane comes up just as they're discovering... townspeople around are kind of noticing his bleeding out body. She walks up just then, freaks out, flees the scene.
She doesn't go to help him or see if he's okay. She just runs away.
And we see
Is she wearing the shoes?
She is wearing the shoes. Yes.
Okay.
We see the Peter's plane take off. He's leaving Rome, getting out of here.
Okay.
Anne stays behind to do some assistant stuff, I guess, finishing some things up. And then Johnny, who is still not doing well, decides to return to the scene of the crime. I feel like he feels like he has blocked something out that maybe if he goes back, he'll be able to remember it. He goes back and... it replays in his head, and we see the thing that he said, that the book reviewer said that we didn't hear the first time.
Right, right.
I killed them. I killed them all.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
So
there are two killers.
So that killed now we all, know there are.
So now, yeah.
That was a really bad impression of Robert Durst. But
so that's the same thing, right? So then Robert Durst shows up and says, "I know that there's two killers." No, so
and he
what
can't
happens
stop
then?
Burping.
Yeah. And he can't stop. But before he can tell anybody, he dies in the car, correct? He gets choked out. And that's another part in the trailer that I believe they showed where it's like...
Strangled. Yeah. On the Wikipedia, it says he's garroted to death, which is what it's called. But
I hate that. That's an awful word.
I don't know garroted. Why I know it. Oh, it's because it's in a ton of French book that I read. They're always garroting things.
Oh, God. Gotta be garroting.
Always garroting.
Always garroting. Stay garroting. That sounds horrible.
Hashtag stay grotting.
Hashtag grot life. Grot life. So what happens? So my memory is coming back to me, and these parts are some of my favorite parts. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting towards the end, and nobody really knows. We think nobody knows what's going on because Johnny's been killed. And then was it the same house or was it a different house that his ex-wife comes to?
So it's wherever Jane is staying. So Jane calls Anne
because
Jane's freaked out. She just saw her lover be murdered or like dead. Mm-hmm. She didn't see the murder, but she's freaked out. She calls Anne. So Anne shows up at her house. Well, before Anne shows up is a really good scene with Jane. So Jane is like sitting at her dining table. Do you remember this part?
Yes, yes. So Jane is sitting at a dining table. She's scared as shit. But she's waiting for Anne to show up, and she has a gun out. She's holding her gun, basically waiting. She's sitting in the table by the window. Mm-hmm. And this is another famous scene where suddenly out of nowhere, an axe comes through the window and cuts off Jane's arm.
And then
her entire arm. And then like literally blood is squirting everywhere.
It like spray paint. Yeah, it's like
everywhere.
Oh my God.
And then she's going,
Oh my God.
She falls down. She falls down, and we see the axe come down on her a couple of more times, and she's dead. And there, from that moment, also again, it flashes back to that scene where that young woman was being murdered years ago with the red shoes.
Oh, right, because she's wearing the red shoes too.
Yes, yes. So it's like suddenly we get an idea that is there some kind of link here, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Then comes. I believe then comes the young Italian detective.
Yes, not the main detective, but his female partner, who we didn't talk too much about. But I think you're meant to think that it's Anne, because Anne is rushing to the house, and so you just see the back of her come in, this woman, and I wasn't sure which one it was, and you just see an axe come down on her and kill her, and I yelled, "No, Anne," because I loved Anne. Have I said it? I love Anne.
And this is a crazy part. It turns out that it's not Anne. And then the murderer basically is like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just done.
Wait, can you guys guess who the murderer is?
Anne?
What's your guess? Because we're about to find out. Emily?
Ooh, we're about to find out? Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Peter.
It's Peter.
Right. It's Peter. Right. It's
he's
Peter.
He's the only one left.
The reveal is so cool. And it's like, basically, he thinks that he's killed Anne. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe it, you know. And then suddenly at that exact moment that it reveals it's him, the young Italian...
main detective guy.
The main detective comes in and basically says, I knew it. So it was you.
With Anne, too, at the same
with
time.
Anne,
like, screaming and freaking out. Anne is... So
I really
shocked.
Wanted it to be Anne. I like really thought it was Anne this whole time. She looks so guilty in the trailer.
All of her lines are dubbed.
He didn't want to kill Anne?
No, because he actually did love Anne, right?
Okay.
Like he didn't. What basically turns out happened is like he wasn't the killer. The main real first killer was the book reviewer. Oh. But. Mm-hmm. When he came into town and started hearing about these murders and everything, it suddenly like awoke this memory in him of when he was young and he was basically humiliated by that woman and he killed her. So it rewoke this killer instinct in him and he basically started killing again.
Whoa. So the flashbacks were him.
He
was the one who had the shoe in his mouth.
He had a repressed lust for murder.
Right. That's a great
Whoa.
Way to put it.
The detective like makes Anne wait in the car and he's like, I put this together because there was a woman that died in his neighborhood in Rhode Island that was never solved. And I knew it was him. Oh wait, no, sorry. I skipped something. So first they're in the big confrontation and Peter slits his own throat.
Yeah. He literally says, basically you're coming with me. And then Peter says, no, he fucking slits his own throat and he dies right there. And then he basically, and then the cop goes back in the car to speak with Anne, right?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of when he like explains it to her.
He basically speaks to Anne, explains how he came to understanding that Peter was the killer and what exactly happened. And then the detective goes back in the house. But this time when he goes back in the house, suddenly an axe comes to his back and kills him. And it turns out it was Peter, and Peter never actually cut his own throat. He used this razor that squirts out fake blood.
What an asshole.
So he waits for Anne to come so he can kill Anne too, because he probably at this point basically, well, you know, I got to kill everyone, you know, because now everyone knows.
Yeah, I got to close
the loop. Yeah.
As he's waiting for Anne to come, so Anne comes inside the house. As he's waiting, Anne pushes the door open to come inside. It hits this statue thing that has this sharp thing, and it falls on Peter and goes in his chest and impales him.
And like a huge spike.
So literally, Anne opens the door. She's like, ah! And basically screams, just impaled. And she screams and screams and screams, and it literally just fades to black. And then you just hear her screaming for like literally like 10, 15 seconds. As then slowly the ending credit sequence, the credits start rolling. Yeah.
Credits over screams is a pretty cool choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool. I like that. What the fuck? There were so many murders.
This movie. Yeah, it just got to a point where it's like, well, it's got to be Peter. Literally everybody else is dead.
Everything up until the book or reviewer's Anne. Death
yeah, sorry.
Was the book reviewer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter, his first kill in this new time was he killed the book reviewer.
Yep.
Right.
And then killed Gianni and then Jane and the literary agent.
And I think the moral of all of it is, hey, go to therapy, deal with your pain, deal with, you know,
yeah,
yep.
deal with your past.
And being humiliated isn't a good enough reason to murder someone else.
Well, it is if you're a man, because that's the worst thing that can happen to you.
Apparently, he like slapped her or did something weird. Like, basically, he's obviously a piece of shit. He did something to her. Then they got him back for doing this like horrible thing to her. And then he killed, I don't know. So it's obvious this guy is sort of a sociopath from the beginning.
Right. What did you guys think? Did you like it? Are you gonna watch it?
I might have watched it were it not for the arm getting cut off.
I don't want to see all these women get stabbed. I just don't want to. I guess I would watch clips of it.
It does look really cool. Like the trailer looked really cool. It looks like
it is. It's really cool. And listeners, if you're feeling brave, I do recommend it. If you're feeling brave and if you've got Shudder, watch it.
I would watch the tracking shot. That sounds interesting.
It's on YouTube. The tracking shot is on YouTube.
There's definitely, it's a very cinematic piece. So if you're a fan of cinema, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when I saw it, I was just kind of young and stupid and didn't realize how some of these themes and some of the sort of things in it was just like fucked up as much as I just looked at it as sort of like, oh, this is like an Italian, you know, Friday the 13th, or like, it's just like a slasher film.
Right.
But yeah, certainly when you really analyze what's happening, it's literally just a film that kind of promotes extreme violence towards women, and it's almost like a fuck you for how dare you criticize me.
How dare you tell me that I do this? Watch me do it.
Let me do it more.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like looking back now, you're like, oh, but as a kid, when I looked at it, I just didn't, none of that stuff even.
Yeah.
I was too ignorant. I didn't really look at it like that, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, I still liked it. even though
Sammy, are you gonna watch more of them now?
I haven't seen Suspiria. It does, it makes me want to watch more of his films, to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of classic films these days. I don't know why. It's just kind of, you assume they're gonna be boring, right? Is that just me?
No, I assume that. my best friend who I lived with in college refused to watch movies that were older than like from 2000. She's like, I just can't look at it. It's like too
well,
old.
It's like I went to film school and I know that they're good. Like I know I've seen many and they're all good. And I don't know but why each time I have a hesitation, I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for it.
Well, it's because our attention spans are already totally shot.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's
and
exactly right.
Totally shot. It's true. And yeah, older movies, they just assume that you'll be able to focus on them. And I can barely focus on the 18 screens I have in front of me at one time.
Yeah, I can't focus on anything.
Yeah, but it's worth it. It's worth making the time and focusing because they're really good. And I really enjoyed
this.
Probably
what I'll do is watch Call Me By Your Name again, which is set in Italy in the 80s, because I'm really just looking for that aesthetic.
There we go.
Trailer.
So it's
very different vibe.
If you want to watch an older movie, just watch Call Me By Your Name.
The classic Call Me By Your
Name. Call Me By My, a lot of people don't know this. Call Me By Your Name is technically a remake of Tenebrae. without the misogynistic ritual murdering in it.
Right, it's the cut down.
Yeah.
A little bit.
What good trivia.
I'm trying to think of like whose perspective is it from?
It's both are happening in the same universe. It's simultaneous. It's just that a few streets down there's this love story happening, but there's also murder.
Oh, right. Right. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Oh my
god. Exactly.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, I think.
Well, should we use the creepy?
Oh, we've got
whisper
to.
Voice.
That. Oh yes. Okay,
oh yeah.
So,
wait. So who was doing the voice first? It was the book reviewer, and then Peter was like, "I could do that voice too."
I think it was. I feel like it was maybe only the book. Does the voice continue? I think the voice stops after. I think the last time we hear the voice is the landlord's daughter, where he says,
"Oh, okay,
filthy spy.
Oh, okay, so he was a freak too. Ugh.
He was such a freak.
He was a freak.
It's so gross the way that, it's like that's whispering. Just listen, watch the movie just to see how creepy that whispering is.
Yes.
Yuck.
But okay, Peter. So the way we usually close it out is with a voice. So this works out well. So we'll all say goodbye in that voice.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so from all of us here at Too Scary Did It Watch, goodbye.
So much for having me. Goodbye, filthy spy.
Hi friends, Emily here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you are enjoying the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, rate, and leave us a review. It means so much to us. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And join our Patreon, patreon.com/TSDW Podcast, for all sorts of little goodies and messages from us. Maybe some bonus apps coming up. As we've mentioned many times, it's really just a great opportunity for you. And next week's film is going to be The Invisible Man, which is available to stream on Sammy's Nemesis Network HBO Max. So check that out if you'd like before next week's episode. And as always, we will see you then. We love you so much. Bye.